reading from John chapter 14. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our text this morning is a continuation of last week's gospel reading. Although it's a separate reading, it continues Jesus' words of comfort and encouragement to his disciples on the night in which he would be betrayed. His disciples at this point were confused and fearful. He had just told them that he would be leaving them, and that they couldn't follow him. It broke their hearts, but he comforted them, assuring them that he was going away to prepare a place for them so that they could be with him in his Father's house. As a matter of fact, he said a lot about his Father in those first verses of chapter 14. Besides talking about his Father's house, Jesus said that he was the only way to the Father. He assured his disciples, though, that having known him, they also knew the Father. Indeed, Jesus said, in seeing him, they had seen the Father. In response to a request from Philip, he said, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." Thus Jesus taught his disciples shortly before he was betrayed, arrested, tried, and crucified, pulling back the curtain on the mystery of the unity of the Father and the Son within the divine Trinity. In all that Jesus was about to do, by his bitter suffering and death, he would be fulfilling the eternal plan of God for the salvation of sinners. Jesus and the Father were one in their intention and purpose. Their joint goal was the eternal salvation for sinners, for you and for me. Salvation that Jesus would win as he died in the darkness at Golgotha, forsaken by his Father, drinking, indeed draining, the cup of God's wrath against sin, so that you need never taste it. Jesus' teaching about himself and his Father, unified in plan and purpose to save you, is truly an amazing thing. But as you hear on television, but wait, there's more. In his teaching, which you've heard this morning, Jesus builds on what we heard last week by introducing also the work of the Holy Spirit for our good and for the salvation of our souls. As we pick up Jesus' teaching this morning, we hear him say, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." This is an unfortunate translation. I imagine most people, if they were asked to paraphrase what Jesus says here, would come up with something like, "If you love me, you will obey me." The thing is that the Greek word Jesus uses here doesn't mean obey. Not ever. It means to guard or to treasure. It can be used of clinging to something to prevent it from being lost or coming to harm. The word has the same meaning as keep in the bedtime prayer. "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep." Or in the benediction, "The Lord bless you and keep you." We don't pray that the Lord would obey our soul through the night. The benediction doesn't speak of the Lord blessing us and obeying us. What Jesus would have us understand here by the word he uses then is that if we love him, we will treasure all that he has said. We'll consider it a most precious possession. Imagine a letter you received from the love of your life during a period that you were separated from that person. You would gladly open it and read it carefully. And when you had read it, you would read it again. When you had to get on with your daily tasks, you would keep it with you. And when you had a moment, you would open it and read it yet again. Before long, you would have some of the most precious phrases committed to your memory. Not because it was required or expected. Oh no. But because of your love for the one who wrote them. Because of the cherished thoughts those phrases conveyed that melted the miles between you and brought you almost into the presence of your beloved. In the same way, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep." That is, you will cling to and treasure the authoritative words I have spoken. Words like, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Words like, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Words like, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Words like, "I give my sheep eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Or, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die forever." Or, "I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." These are the precious words of Jesus. Words his sheep recognize and in which they rejoice. Words to which they cling. Words they treasure. Words which they return to again and again for the love that they reveal and for the comfort and the promise they contain. And never forget the one who spoke those words, who gave those promises, is the one who said, "I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And significantly, not only did Jesus say this, he did it. That means that we can count on his words. His rising, as he said, guarantees that he can do everything that he promises. That means that life forever with him in his Father's home is done, accomplished, for all those who believe in him, for all who rely on his promises and cling to them. As Jesus was about to lay down his life, to be lifted up from the earth on the cross, he promised to give even more. He comforted those who had trusted in him with the promise, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Another helper besides Jesus was coming, the Spirit of Truth. Jesus' departure, first to the cross and the tomb, and then when he had risen to the right hand of the Father, would result in the sending of the Spirit. As he continued following today's text, Jesus laid out what the Spirit would do. He would convince and convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He would bear witness concerning Jesus, reminding believers of Jesus' words, taking what is of Jesus and making it known, delivering all that Jesus has to give, leading and guiding into all truth. The Spirit is the one by whom you were born again from above in the water of holy baptism, which, as Peter says, now saves you by giving you a clear conscience before God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was the Spirit, this promised helper, whom the risen Lord breathed out and onto his disciples on the evening of the first Easter, saying, receive the Holy Spirit. And with this gift, commissioning his apostles to forgive sins in his name. Indeed, wherever God's word is spoken or read, wherever holy baptism is performed, wherever the Lord's Supper is eaten, there the Lord's Spirit is at work, giving out the gifts that Jesus won, forgiving sins, cleansing consciences, sustaining faith, strengthening trust, conveying love, producing peace and joy and thankfulness. But as is Jesus' habit, he gives us everything he has, and then he gives us even more. He's going away, so he prays to the Father to send the Spirit, and then he promises, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he uses that same word that means treasures and clings to again. Whoever has my commandments and treasures and clings to them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Just before his ascension, Jesus again promised, I am with you always to the end of the age. Rejoice. You are united with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have been, indeed you are, baptized into his divine name. You have received his love in Jesus Christ. You have been, you are being blessed by the Holy Spirit, who has made you his temple, working even now through word and sacrament. He forgives and sanctifies and keeps you in the true faith. Jesus continues to keep his promises. He makes himself known in the breaking of the bread. By his true body and blood, he comes to be with you and in you. Even now, your Savior is at the right hand of God, interceding for you. Truly, there is nothing in all creation that will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is yours, and you are his forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.